The Ohio Ecological Food and Farm Association, or OFA, is a statewide grassroots nonprofit group that was founded in the late 90s. Farmers, gardeners, and folks who were thinking about the kinds of foods they were growing and eating began working together to create and promote a sustainable and healthful food and farming system. On February 16th and 17th, Granville, Ohio, in the heart of the state, will be home to OFA's 34th annual conference, Growing Opportunities, Cultivating Change. It's Ohio's largest sustainable agriculture conference, an event which draws more than 1,000 attendees from across Ohio and the Midwest. Keynote speaker at the conference is attorney, rancher, and writer Nicolette Hahn-Nyman. We'll speak with her in just a moment. First, a little bit about OFA and the conference from Renee Hunt. She is the education director at the Ohio Food and Farm Association.
Well, what I like to say about OFA is, the local food movement is popular and trendy now, but back 34 years ago, our founders, this is what they had envisioned for people to be able to connect with their food source, to be promoting and accessing ecologically raised food. And back in that day, that was seen as extreme or a radical viewpoint. And so we feel like we've come full circle as an organization.
Let's talk a little bit about the conference.
Our conference will feature two keynote speakers, almost 100 workshops. So everything from field crops to gardening, from livestock to energy, marketing to in the home, business and health, policy, consumer, sustainable foundations, community. So there's really something for anybody who's interested in food and farming. We have a trade show. We offer a conference for kids so parents can go and network and learn while kids have an educational experience themselves. And we try to source as much local and organic foods for our meals as possible and even try to have a little fun on Saturday evening.
Do you think that's key to programs like the Food and Farm Association getting through to young people?
Yeah, our board feels that's really important because they're going to either carry on and expand the efforts that have been laid down so far. So we have a good mix of students who show up, both younger ones as well as high school and college students.
Renee Hunt is the education director at the Ohio Food and Farm Association. Anyone interested in finding out more about the organization or who want to raise their own awareness about food and farming issues can find out more at oeffa.org. One of the keynote speakers at this year's conference is Nicolette Hahn-Nyman. She's an attorney and rancher who writes and speaks about improving food and farming systems. She spoke to us by phone from her home in Northern California. Now, at the conference, you'll be exploring links between modern industrial agriculture and the public health and environmental problems we're facing today. Can you point out some of those links for us?
Yeah, well, interestingly, a lot of the food policy that we've had and the farming policy we've had in the United States in the last 50 to 100 years has been geared towards trying to produce more food and trying to produce it more cheaply. And that's actually led to a situation where we're doing a lot of overproduction of a lot of foods in this country today. And at the same time, we have, and we're actually overproducing a lot of the kinds of foods that are not very healthy. And at the same time, we have an obesity epidemic in this country. Two-thirds of Americans are now either overweight or obese. And the number of obese children has tripled in the last couple of decades. So we're kind of working at cross purposes in our food and farming policy and our public health situation.
It seems to me and others, I think, that our food system is somewhat tenuous. If something goes wrong, if any link in the chain breaks, there are going to be a lot of people looking for a food source.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, in some ways, our food system is viewed as being much more efficient nowadays. It's much more centralized. It's much more automated. Things are much more connected. And it's true that has, in some ways, improved the food system. But in other ways, the centralization and the consolidation, the lack of kind of dispersed food supplies all around the country, has led to a much more vulnerable food system. And we've seen that examples of this in these massive food recalls. So there will be a contamination problem, let's say, in a peanut butter plant in somewhere in the southeast, and all of a sudden you have people getting very sick all over the country because of the fact that one single source is producing food that's spreading all over the country through our distribution systems. And it's similarly, just the way we're raising animals, for example, we're rather than having small herds and flocks on lots of different farms around the countryside, we have huge operations. You know, in a chicken operation now, for example, a typical chicken operation will have over 1 million chickens, and especially egg-laying hen operations are really huge. And so if you get a contaminant in those, and it's very hard to prevent diseases and viral bacteria, virulent bacteria from being in those environments because they are very densely crowded, they're very conducive to disease and the spread of disease. And so you're much more vulnerable. That whole entire flock is more likely to get sick, and then that food is being dispersed all over the country. So in some ways, our system is stronger than it has ever been, and in some ways, it's weaker than it's ever been.
You mentioned that some foods were being overproduced with regard to our diet and obesity. Can you give us some examples of those food types?
Well, in the talk that I'm going to be giving, I'm going to show how our consumption of certain foods that are very definitely tied to the obesity problem has dramatically risen. And one example of that, I mean, a really obvious example is sugar. So we eat about 60% more sugar now than we did 100 years ago every day on a daily basis. And grain, just in the last couple of decades, we've actually increased our grain consumption by almost 50%. So grains and sugars, which are actually from a metabolic standpoint, they're pretty similar. Those are two things we've dramatically increased our consumption of. And our production in this country has continued to rise over the 20th century, and it's very definitely contributing to the obesity epidemic. So one of the things that is kind of ironic about our food policy is like USDA produces this the food pyramid, sort of recommendations of how we should eat. And even though a lot of people would argue, take issue with some of the ways they've structured that, if you just accept it for the sake of argument and say, okay, this is how we should be eating, the U.S. does not produce enough of the foods on that pyramid for people to eat in a healthy way. Our USDA recommends how we should eat, but we don't match it up in our production, so especially fruits and vegetables, for example. If Americans ate the amount of recommended fruits and vegetables on their USDA pyramid, we would not have nearly enough fruit and vegetables for Americans to eat. So it's kind of a strange situation. Our farming policy does not match up to our nutritional recommendations to Americans.
Your speech at the conference will be titled Eating as We Farm and Farming as We Eat. And I guess taking the industrialized food chain out of the system, what choices do people have? What do you recommend for people who get their meals daily from the grocery store counters?
One thing I wrote a book called Righteous Pork Chop, and the book is actually kind of my whole journey through this food system, learning about it both as an environmental lawyer and then as an individual consumer. I found myself that when I started looking at what I was eating and just, trying to tackle a little bit of it at a time, that I was able to dramatically change the way I ate, over the last decade, really. And one thing I started trying to do was say, okay, I'm going to try to make sure that the eggs I purchase are not coming from these giant factory farms where all the hens are kept in battery cages and, there are 1 million hens in a building and that sort of thing. And so I began looking at the labels on the egg boxes. And I began, trying to make sure that they were being raised in places that I was comfortable with. And the eggs were kind of the first thing that I tried to change. And eventually, I got to the point where I was able to buy eggs from, a local person who was producing, had the hens out on grass and, really producing a really healthful, delicious, and, in my view, safer product. But that didn't happen overnight. It took me a while to get to that point. What I encourage people to do is one step at a time, just try to improve.
Do you think the industrial and environmental problems going on with the food culture today, do you think they're insurmountable?
No, actually, it's funny because my work has been a lot of writing and speaking about, all the bad news. And so it can get kind of depressing for me and for people who are listening to it. But I always, spend at least the second half of, my talks or my articles, I try to always talk about sort of the optimism that I actually have, and because of the good news that I'm seeing. And especially, I've really, from traveling around the country this last 10 years, I have been really, truly astonished by what is happening in all the regions I've traveled in, which is really kind of all over the U.S., with younger people especially getting really interested in food and in farming even, trying to start their own farms, trying to get land to farm. I've met young people all over the country that are starting restaurants, that are trying to buy directly from farms. I've met lots of people, parents especially, mothers, that are very, very involved in the school lunch programs, trying to improve what children are eating in schools and how that's purchased and how that's prepared. And just there are just so many exciting things happening sort of at the grassroots level all over the country. And, you know, being a Midwesterner myself, I'm originally from Michigan. You know, I'm back there quite often. I'm amazed at how much different the situation is now than 20 years ago, and really for the better. So there's a lot to be concerned about, but there's also a lot of reason for optimism. And I do think from an individual consumer standpoint, there is a great deal more available now than there was, you know, just even 10 years ago. If you're trying to eat better, if you're trying to get food from a better source today, it's much easier than it was 10 years ago.
Do you have any information specifically aimed at, say, our listeners here in Ohio? Any trends that are happening here in the state that you've noticed with your travels?
Well, we have, my husband and I have, my husband is the founder of a natural meat company that is a network of traditional smaller scale farmers all over the country. And we've worked with a lot of farmers in the Midwest and including in Ohio. And we've been very heartened by what we've seen there as far as the number of farmers that are interested in smaller scale farming and raising dairy cows, chickens, and pigs out on grass. So I think there's a lot very exciting happening in Ohio as far as sort of a rebirth in interest in sort of traditional farming practices that produce really high-quality food. So I have not been to Ohio in a couple of years, but I have a feeling that it's much easier for a consumer today if they go to a farmer's market or a co-op or even just a natural food store, you know, to sort of get locally produced high-quality pasture-based animal products.
We've been speaking with attorney, rancher, writer Nicolette Hahn-Nyman. She will be the featured keynote speaker at the Ohio Ecological Food and Farm Association's 34th annual conference, Growing Opportunities, Cultivating Change. It takes place Sunday, February 17th in Granville, Ohio. Nicolette, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure to be here. Thank you.